But there's something beautiful that the Holy Spirit gives us, and we're going to see that today. Holy Spirit as a guide, John 16, verses 13 through 15. But when he, this is Jesus talking, he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known unto you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known unto you. Praise God. The Holy Spirit's a guide. This word to guide in the biblical sense means to lead, instruct, to show the way. Oh, there's not much difference between that and the English language. Aren't you glad we have a Holy Spirit that can guide us into complexity and into simplicity? The Holy Spirit knows how to guide us. You know, there are some things you will face in life that are pretty complex. How many of you know it's nice to have the third person of the Trinity who knows everything to help you make those decisions? He said he would guide us into all truth. Not just, but all truth. That's a beautiful. The promise of the Old Testament was this in Isaiah 48, 17. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Don't you just love that? How many of you know the Lord knows what's best for you? The Lord knows what's best for me. Sometimes I think I know what's best. Sometimes I got it all figured out. But God knows what's best for me. And he directs us in the way we should go. Now, last week we were talking a little bit about the flesh, this nature called the flesh in the Bible, the carnal nature. And we talked about the things that produced, the anger, the rage, and all, debauchery, and all kinds of sexual stuff and all that. And I'm going to tell you, the flesh knows how to lead too. It knows how to lead. And if you want to be drugged by that, and that's what James talks about, that sin, you're not tempted by God, you're tempted when your own desires, and it drags you away into sin. And the end result of that is death. And he's not talking about spiritual death, physical death necessarily. He's talking about a spiritual death that imprisons you. I've been reading church history a little bit, and one of the things the Puritans wanted when they were leaving England, coming over to the United States, they had this desire to be happy. To be happy. How many of you want to be happy? I thought, wow, that's interesting, because that kind of fits our culture today. To be happy. They wanted to be happy. But the second part of their little notion was something that we don't have today, is be good. Because you can have all the happiness you want, but if there's no moral guiding post, if there's no moral foundation, that happiness is just going to lead you into depravity, into slavery. And that's why it's important that you understand something about the moral nature of God. And the Holy Spirit has made a promise to lead us. So I don't want the leading of the flesh. I want the leading of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit's leading leads to life. He leads me to life. Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I will ever come to the place where I will regret the leading of the Holy Spirit that led me to life. He leads me to joy. The Holy Spirit leads me to joy. See, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Do you understand that? Happiness has to do with the happenings of your life. In other words, when things are going good, you're happy. I mean, you know, things don't always go good. But the Holy Spirit has made a promise to lead us to joy, because joy is not something that happens or you possess because of something that's happening outside of you. Joy is something you possess inside of you by the power and work of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul and Silas could what? Sing in prison. Huh? Romans 14:17 says this, "For the kingdom of God does not mean eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. I'm glad to know that the Holy Spirit will lead you to a happy place. Amen. The other thing that this scripture says that he will lead us into righteousness. He'll lead us into peace. Man, does the world need peace or what? Huh? He'll lead us. He'll lead us into a deeper worship experience. You know? In John 4, 23 and 24, Jesus said this to the woman who he was talking to at the well. "The hour is coming and now is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 says this, "For we are of the circumcision who worship God in spirit and boast in Christ Jesus and place no trust in the flesh." He comes up with that verse because there were a group of people in the church that was saying, "Oh, you got to go back to the Old Testament law. You got to do all the old stuff. And if you don't do the old stuff, you're not going to be in the new stuff. So you got to do the old stuff." And Paul says, "Listen, our hope is not in the work of the flesh and the things that you can do that makes you more righteous. Our hope is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who seals the deal." Amen. And that's what he's saying. So the Holy Spirit leads us in these things. The other thing he leads us into is a deeper knowledge of Jesus. This knowledge of Jesus transforms us. It has that kind of effect upon you. It transforms you. This is what it does. It makes you more like Jesus. Amen? We've been having some great conversations with people, and just some amazing things, you know, about is this right or this right? Here's a good test question. If Jesus would do it, it's pretty good. If Jesus wouldn't do it, don't you do it either. If Jesus wouldn't use that word, you shouldn't be using that word. It's pretty simple, isn't it? But very hard. Listen, Romans 8, 28, you all know this verse. Listen, "For we know that all things work together for good." He doesn't say all things are good, but all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. "For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." In other words, God saved you to be like his Son. Everybody in Christ Jesus is destined to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. So the longer you know Jesus, the longer you ought to be like him, the more you ought to be like him. How many of you have a friend and all of a sudden you realize, you know, my friend says the very same things that I say? You know, that sounds like something it's kind of scary. But that's the way it is with Jesus. The more you know him, the more you're like him. And the more you know him, the more you like him, to be like him. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. You see, this is the truth. The leading of the Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. Because I've seen some people get involved in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, it's their name on the card. It's their name that's being promoted. It's their name that's important. No. John the Baptist was truly right when he said, "He must increase, and I must decrease." And the Holy Spirit will put that in your heart and in your life. Amen? So the Holy Spirit guides. He guides us, the scripture says, into all truth. You know what that means? The Holy Spirit keeps me on the right path. He keeps me on the right path. There's a lot of paths out there. And what the scripture says, your word is a light unto my path. Do you see how the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the word of God to keep us on the right path? That's what he does. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit will guide you to who you're supposed to marry? That's a pretty good deal. He'll guide you into what occupation you're supposed to do. He'll guide you into what job you're supposed to take. The Holy Spirit will lead you in your prayer life. And we all need help in our prayer life. Look at Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with groanings too deep for words. Holy Spirit, help us pray. Tell you a little secret here, okay? You should practice this. I just don't know how to pray for my husband. I don't know how to pray for my spouse. I don't know how to pray for my children. Can I tell you what you need to do? Catch them asleep. You catch them asleep. And you go in there and you lay your hands on them. And you start praying. Because there's something about people hearing you pray that stagnates your prayer life. Especially people that you know very closely. See, when they're asleep, you can pray anything you want to it. They're not going to hear you because you're praying quietly. Listen, you ought to practice that. Huh? You ought to practice that. Listen, I used to pray for my children all the time. They'd be asleep in the crib. I'd go in and pray. I can remember the prayer I had for Benjamin when he was little. I never forgot that prayer because I prayed that prayer all the time. God, I don't care what you do with my son. But the thing I want him to know is your presence. I don't care if he's a millionaire or what kind of job. What I want him to know is your presence. And he leads us in worship every Sunday. Don't you think your prayers don't matter? And sometimes God needs to knock them out in front of you so you can pray for them. It's all right. Use that moment. Pray for your spouse that way. They need it. You should have said real amen there. Amen? Understand the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you into prayer. Here's the other thing. The thing that we have problems with is understanding how the Holy Spirit leads. How does he lead me? Well, here's where it begins. Ready? It begins with your heart. The Holy Spirit can't lead any stubborn mule. The Bible uses another terminology for that. Donkey. It's hard to lead someone who doesn't want to be led. It's hard to lead someone who hasn't got a touch of humility and says, I don't know everything. Because when you know everything, you can't be led. When you know everything, you can't, when you got it all figured out, you can't. Can I tell you, life is bigger than you and you need the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Spirit can't come. And the Spirit, when he comes, he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Thank you, Jesus. So he does that, and it begins with our heart. If you can't humble yourself before the word, you're probably not going to humble yourself before the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because the leading of the Holy Spirit will start with the word first. You know, it's kind of like this. And I believe this to be true. If you can't make your bed in the morning, you're probably never not going to be a very good employee. And someone said to someone the other day, well, I'm just doing this kind of part-time right now, but when I get a real job, I'll show up. I had someone in the church, you know, they worked at Chick-fil-A and they were flipping chicken and they just hated flipping chicken in the fryer. Can I tell you, God gave you that job? You ought to celebrate what God gave you, because if you don't celebrate what God gives you right now in this moment in your life, he's probably going to be reluctant in giving you something better than what you've got, because you can't be thankful for what he's given you. Amen. We have got to be excellent. Quit being lazy about the things of God. Well, it's just a job. No, everything to be done to the glory of God. And the Holy Spirit will help you. We got to be humble before him. Psalm 25, verse 9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. That's a great verse. Amen? So when you're humble, now you can be teachable. And you know what? God always uses someone you don't want to teach you. Who do you think you are trying to tell me what to do? That goes back to that humble thing. But you got to be teachable. You know, my kids have taught me more things than I could ever imagine. I've learned. As a matter of fact, Jesus says the children will lead them. I mean, don't be afraid of who teaches you. Just be a learner. Be teachable. The other thing, I think there ought to be a desire in our heart, a want to be led by the Holy Spirit in our heart. A desire to do that. You see, the other thing, if you're going to be led by the Spirit, you're going to have an understanding of how your flesh works. How your own appetites work to lead you astray. And that's why it's important, you know, to know about yourself. Where are you tempted? Okay, let's put a door where I'm not going to be tempted. Do you understand that? You got to set up boundaries to protect yourself. If you don't, you'll be a slave. All right? So we have to understand that. And the other thing is this. Understanding the leading of the Holy Spirit is a process. A learning. We learn to be led by the Spirit of God. So how does the Holy Spirit lead? Any way he can. Any way he can. Get it through your sixth skull. I didn't say that right, did I? Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Want a thick. Yeah, thank you. Sometimes he does this. Sometimes he just nudges you. Oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes he'll just nudge you. Hey, you should call that person. Sometimes he just nudges you. You know what I mean? He just kind of, you should do that. Or you'll hear somebody else do something and God will say, the Holy Spirit will say, you should do that. Well, I don't want to be a copycat. Listen, if the Holy Spirit wants you to be a copycat, humble yourself. Be a copycat. It's okay. Because ultimately, we should all be copying Jesus. Amen? So don't be afraid. Sometimes he just nudges. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just slaps me upside the face. You're wrong. Stop it. You ever done that? You ever had that happen to you? You know, when my attitude gets rotten, the Holy Spirit has to correct you. He uses his word. He'll use a friend. He'll use a spouse. To use a child. Sometimes he just does that. Sometimes he just removes all the options. I tried that door. Oh, okay. You know what I do? This is the prayer I pray. And I've prayed it a lot of times. Lord, I've looked everywhere, and this is the door I'm walking through, and I'm believing you this to be it, and I'm stepping out in faith. And you just step. And I know this. Sometimes I've stepped, and he's closed that door and made me do a right-hand turn or a left-hand turn. Didn't matter. I just want him to lead me. Amen? And sometimes, nobody has to say anything. You just know this is God. And people will scratch their head. Why are you doing that? Most of the time, I don't tell them. I just don't tell them. God told me to do it because I don't want to play the God card. I know people who play the God card just to get their own way. Well, God told me to do this. Well, there's a few things God will never tell you to do. If it doesn't lead to peace and righteousness, it probably isn't God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead with dreams. He'll lead with dreams. Sometimes he'll lead with a faithful friend or a faithful sister. You got to have people around your life to speak into your life. That's the power of a small group. I was invited to a small group on Thursday, and we just had the best time. And Wednesday night when we do the celebration, you'll hear about the engagement that took place. I shouldn't have said that. I'm not kidding. In a small group, someone gave a ring. Is that not cool? Sometimes God uses a brother and sister. Listen, sometimes the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God. That's why you ought to be reading it every day. Amen? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will use the gifts of the Spirit to lead us. Someone will have a word of wisdom. Someone will have a word of prophecy over our lives. And this is how that works. There's always a confirmation to the working of the Holy Spirit in relationship to the gifts of the Spirit. You know, if God's telling you something, you know, God's telling you to be a missionary, and you think, I don't know if that's God, I don't know about that. And then some stranger comes up to you and powers by the power of the Holy Spirit and says, you know, I think God's calling you to the mission field. Yeah. Yeah. That's confirmation. You know, some people get confirmation in that way, some people don't. You just do it. Here's another thing about the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid just to wait on God. And that's the hard thing. Sometimes you don't know when to wait and when to go. God will let you know. The thing is this, learning. You don't know it all at once. Don't expect to know it all at once. Sometimes I've tried, and you know what? I've had to back up. It's okay. God honors the heart that wants to go after him. Let him work in your life. He does his leading through strange things. Now there are dangers in relationship to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and some of the dangers, one of them has to do with this. I think sometimes the danger is this. The way God has led me, he's going to lead you the same way. And then when I pray for you, this is what you ought to do because this is the way God did it for me and this is the way God always does it. Nah. He doesn't do that because he knows what you have need of more than I do. And sometimes he'll lead you one way that just kind of perplexes me. But, you know, God does things that kind of perplex you sometimes. I mean, you think about Philip, all of a sudden he's standing before an Ethiopian, and the Ethiopian's reading the story out of Isaiah, and all of a sudden he's just literally translating. I mean, he's never translated me one place to another, but he has led me. He works in different ways with different people. Amen? I mean, with Paul's conversion, he knocks him blinded off of a horse. He's never led me that way.
And that's okay. I don't need him to blind me. I don't need him to knock me off. Do you understand? What I need him to do is have his way with my life. Yeah. So be careful about that. The work of the Holy Spirit is different with everyone. The key thing is this. It's the truth we're walking on. We're living in. The other danger is to resist his leading. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, it's Stephen's message. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in your hearts and your ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. Man. You resist the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63, verse 10. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, listen to this. Therefore, he turned himself to be their enemy. And he fought against them. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm smart enough to know I don't want God as my enemy. I'm smart enough to God. I don't want to be the one fighting God. Because he's bigger and he's going to win. It's the truth. It's the truth. And God makes it very clear. Why? Because God wants what's best for you. And resisting and grieving and working against what God's plan is not God's best for your life. So God will take you on to protect you, to save you. So we have to be careful not to make someone else manipulate others by doing it just like it happened to us, resisting the Holy Spirit. And then there's this other thing called grieving the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says this, and do not grieve the Spirit of God in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, outburst, and blasphemy with all malice be taken away from you. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. Do you hear that? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you see what he's talking about? See, we take that in terms of not listening to God. I'm grieving. No, that's resisting. Grieving the Holy Spirit is when you hurt someone else in the body of Christ. When you don't forgive your brother. When you're not kind. When you got all kinds of bitterness and ugly inside of you. Well, Pastor Larry, how do I know it's inside of me? Because it's coming out your mouth?
It's true.
Everybody else knows but you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul talked about lying. Lying against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You and I need to be careful with our anger. Don't give the place to the devil. Do not steal. Let no unwholesome talk proceed out of your mouth. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God forgave you. Aren't you glad God forgave you? Hallelujah. And I'm just so thankful for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Huh? And there are moments in my life when God did supernatural leading to me. I'll just give you an example. The reason I'm the pastor of this church. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina. I'm doing a television show, and the producer of that show is Larry Patton, who pastored this church back in the 60s. And I walk into the office to set, and because we do this program called Ask the Pastor. This was a long time ago when I had hair, and you guys caused me to lose all my hair. I'm walking in the door, and he says, Larry, there's a great church in Tallahassee, and you'd be a great pastor for that church. Larry, thanks for telling me, but, you know, I'm happy. God's doing some good things, and I just never, it's good. We do the program, and I'm walking out. Don't remember anything about the program. It was just the program that normally happened. I'm walking out the door, and he says, Larry, You really should consider being the pastor up there. You would make, it's a great fit for you. Larry, I'm happy. Things are going, I'm just happy. My kids are, it's just great. No, thank you, but. And I get my little Honda Prelude that you barely made it. I think that's what I had at that time. And my church was 30 minutes from there. And by the time I got to my church, I knew I was moving. And I called Larry and I said, I think the Lord doesn't want me to resist this. A month later, I was moving. And that was 21 years ago. I never forgot that monumental moment when God led me. And sometimes he leads in weird ways, but he always confirms it with his presence. His presence. Stand with me, would you? I'm going to read one more verse of scripture to you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21. And it talks about one of the things the Holy Spirit does to do things in us. And that is this. He seals God's work. You know, some of you ladies and some of you people use these little wax things that seal envelopes. And you put a stamp on there and it's sealed. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He seals it. He stamps it. The work of God in our lives, in our hearts, he seals it. So it won't be wasted. So it won't be, aren't you glad for that preservative of the Holy Spirit over our lives? That's sometimes I pray this prayer, God, take this word and seal it in my heart. Because why? I don't want to forget it. God, take this moment by the power of your Spirit. Don't seal it in my life, Lord, because I don't want to miss what you're trying to show me, what you're trying to teach me. I don't want to have to relearn this lesson again. Anybody bear witness to that? There's a few things I've had to learn several times. And aren't you thankful for his love? Huh? He just loves us. God, seal your work. Your work of leading, your work of guiding, your work of redemption, your work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts today, Lord. God, your work of love, seal it in our hearts. May we not doubt your love through the power and work of your Holy Spirit. May we not doubt, oh God. We need you, Jesus. Maybe you need God today to lead you into something. You've just been just struggling. Can I ask you to ask God? God, show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me which direction. Show me, Lord, lead me. I don't want to miss you, oh Holy Spirit of God. God, I humble my heart before you because I want to be led by your Spirit into the path of joy and righteousness and peace, Lord. I don't want to miss you. God, I want to stay in the river. I want to plunge into the work of the Holy Spirit, wherever he wants to take me, whatever he wants to do in my life, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me,